Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
What is going on, everyone? The Big Kahuna is back. We are back in the saddle as a team. Warriors this week, 9 to noon, 95-7 The Game. A very interesting week for the Dubs as they go 3-1. Remind us why they are must-watch. Three wins in a row, win last night in Charlotte. Before we dig into it all, we have tons of stuff on our plate for the next 3 hours. Before we do, Dan, my man, what is going on? Dan DeVone, everyone.
Studio applause.
There we go.
Every single time my name is introduced. Thank you very much, everyone. Yes, it is good to be back. Well, I've been here. Where the hell have you been?
Well, it's been 3 weeks.
Last time I saw you, you were sitting on Granny's lap in somebody's kitchen.
It was actually my future kitchen. The live working vignettes at Freedman's Appliance were very kind to myself and Mark Granny. But you're right. Yeah, we were basically shoulder to shoulder. We were trying to figure out how we were going to get out of the dishwashing section of the part of the store, and we were taking jokes the whole show. Someone was like, oh, does that mean the Warriors are washed? Are you guys washed up? What's going on here? No, you're right. We were on set last weekend, 12-3, and you and Sterling were able to hold it down, so I appreciate that. You guys sounded really good.
No, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, and of course, tossing to you guys. And when you're talking about the Warriors, I'm getting to the point, where I'm ready to, and for those of you that are watching on YouTube, the hands are clearly held over my head because I don't know what the hell to do or how to explain this team with just 9 games remaining in the season. We've been through the ebb and flow, and quite frankly, I am completely perplexed about just exactly who this basketball team is.
Well, like, they're must watch. They are walking content. There is something every single night, whether it's a meaningless Charlotte team that is an absolute dumpster fire, or the game before in Orlando with fireworks popping off 4 minutes in, the game in Miami, the starting lineup gets mixed up. I know that was something that you guys talked about last Saturday, or even a game against Minnesota. So, look, a lot has happened in the last week, and I think you're right. That's where we need to start is, I don't know where you were 7 days ago with this team, and I kind of feel like I don't know where I'm going to be 7 days from now with this basketball team, because they went 3 of 4. They stabilized themselves a little bit more on the road. They got 9 games left tomorrow, 4 o'clock against San Antonio. They went from feeling like they were dead to, they might go 4-1 on this 5-game road trip.
Well, we've done this before. We've been in this exact same place before. They blow out one of the best teams in the NBA, certainly one of the best teams in the East. It's pretty much Boston and everybody else. I get it. But the second best team, and the team that I think a lot of people feel as though could challenge potentially the Boston Celtics in the East, coming out of the East to the NBA Finals, are the Milwaukee Bucks. And they throttle the Bucks by 35. And this was coming off of a month in which they won 10 of 14 games. They won 3 of 4 of a difficult road trip out east. And so you're buying in again. And what happens the next night? Inexplicably, you lose to Chicago, right? So this ebb and flow, a step forward, 2 steps back, like, don't overlook San Antonio, because as good as they have been on this road trip, who the hell knows? And that gets right back to where I was starting the show, is that their identity, just when you're ready to embrace them and say, okay, there's the finish line, you're built for the postseason, you have the pedigree, let's go. And then before you know it, rest assured, they'll get punched in the face when you least expect it.
Well, and that's why, I last week I thought it was kind of damning. The losses to New York and Indiana at home, I thought, showed some flaws and holes in the roster construction, and we were thinking about what kind of decisions you might have to make this summer, and I think I'm still in that camp to some extent, but you know, also looking at the teams they beat this week, a back-to-back in Florida, not easy. Charlotte on the road, that's a game you got to get. But, you know, those two wins in Florida, to me, are the ones that stood out the most. I mean, obviously, with what happened in Orlando with Draymond getting ejected and the team rallying in spite of him, in spite of Kuminga being out as well for the last two games. Klay Thompson was out last night. They win 115-97 going away against the Hornets. But this team, I don't know, Dan, if they're playing their best basketball. Like, they went 11-3 in February. This would be, if they went on Sunday, the first 2 months of the year that they've been above 500. I don't know if they're playing their best basketball, but it feels like they're playing their most complimentary basketball. Like, they're getting contributions from everywhere.
And defensively, I think they've stepped it up. It might be their best defensive basketball, and you're right. They're sharing the basketball. It is clearly not, you know, optimal Golden State Warrior. Again, I go back to that Milwaukee game where Steph is Steph and the kid, Trayce Jackson-Davis, is swatting Giannis on successive plays.
At three blocks last night, your boy.
That's the Warriors with that blend of the youth. How many times have we done shows talking about that mixture of the youth and the veteran leadership on this basketball team? Right now, I think what we've seen on this road trip, if we were to characterize the week, I think that might be the operative word, is the character. Yeah. Is that they've shown that they have the fortitude, if you will, that sometimes when you don't necessarily, and especially Steph, who hasn't been at his very best over the last month, you could say, but they're gutting out wins. And I think that win against Orlando, more than maybe anything else this week, without Jonathan Kuminga and surviving, of course, the ridiculous ejection within the opening minutes of that of Draymond Green. And that, to me, was just, it was a character win. It wasn't pretty, but they knew they needed to win. They knew they were shorthanded. They were on the road, back-to-back. You're at Orlando, a good defensive team, one of those long teams that always gives them problems, and you came out with a win. That's one of those, I hate to use the word, but it was a gut-check victory. And there's not a lot of those for this year. So if I was to recap the week, I would say, yeah, physically not at their very best. You know, Steph didn't go off for 40, but I think in terms of proving that they have some, you know, some onions, if you will, that this is a team that took some shots to the chin and at the end of the week proved that they have a lot more character and answered some questions, as opposed to there was another avenue they could have gone down, yeah, which was clearly taking the pipe and losing to Orlando. And how would that have been in terms of Draymond Green? What would we be discussing today had they lost to Orlando on the way, they were without their superstar in Draymond?
Well, and that's why I think these four games so far, this five-game road trip, are significant, because last week, coming off the loss to Minnesota, you're thinking, I mean, I don't necessarily expect them to go in and beat Orlando, but after Draymond gets tossed, you're down your second-best score. I kind of thought they might fold. Like, that's a situation where you might see a team that is, you know, kind of limping to the finish line in general. The Houston Rockets are hot on their heels. Apparently, they can't lose a basketball game. And there's still a game back of you for the 10th spot in the Western Conference.
Won again last night.
And they beat Utah by a point. Yeah. And that was another close game as well. They won at OKC in overtime. Granted, SGA didn't play in that game. But Houston can't seem to lose. They've won 11 straight. And now the Warriors are also between, you know, Houston, that's a game back, but also they're a game and a half back of the Lakers, and so they might have a chance to climb a little bit in this play-in tournament. I don't know. It's, to me, this was a week in which, if they did, I would completely understand why the Warriors would fold. I mean, they have not been playing well. They've looked old for about a month. After February, I thought, coming out of the All-Star break, they look well-rested. They looked rejuvenated. And the best part to me about these four games is it hasn't been all Curry. It hasn't. He's been really good when they've needed him to be. He closed out Orlando, but I don't think he was the best player in that game. I thought Andrew Wiggins was. Last night, Wiggins has another 28-8 game. Granted, it's against Charlotte, but in Miami, I thought Klay Thompson was the best player in that game, getting back into the starting lineup. So they've had contributions from everywhere, and if you just look up and down the box scores, the fact that you're not seeing Curry every single game have to be the leading scorer or having to score 30 each and every night, you're getting contributions from Moses Moody in a game like last night. Trayce Jackson-Davis is stepping into the starting lineup, and he's been very solid, playing 30 minutes a night when he's needed to. they're getting contributions from everyone, and that's why I was impressed by them not folding this week, coming off of one in which they looked like this was just going to be kind of limp to the finish line, get through these final 10 games, and then we'll see this summer. No, they dug deep, and I feel like it all started in that game against Orlando.
It's still, you're right, look at Steph Curry carrying the load to this point. He's tired and he's 36, I think is the best way to sum it up when you think about Steph and where he's at, which is why, and it's not going to happen. If ever there was a team that needed to get to the sixth seed, it's the Golden State Warriors. And the reason why, they needed that week off.
Yeah.
This is a team that, did you see Chris Paul on the back-to-back in that game against Orlando? He had no legs. Like these veterans, this time of the year, this is when it catches up to you. And yeah, Steph hasn't been quote unquote Steph, and it's been Clay, and also you get the huge contributions from Wiggins. But now going forward, it's just about the consistency. You know what you're going to get out of Steph, but can you get those consistent numbers from Andrew Wiggins? Or is he going to climb back into a hole and disappear for another week? Because you can't afford that to happen. Can Clay Thompson, you know, turn that corner and let that not be necessarily an aberration or the outlier, but let, you know, that Klay Thompson performance be sort of indicative of what it is that you can expect from here on out. That's the big question, and it's something that's hovered over this team right from the outset. That if Steph Curry at age 36, you know, he begins to sort of slow down a bit, and you know he'll turn it on in the postseason, but who can push you across the finish line? And it's good to see Andrew Wiggins. But before we buy in, I think I can speak for a lot of people in Dub Nation that you need to see it over a consistent or at least over a string of games before he can anoint him as being that guy again.
Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone back in the saddle here on Warriors this week, 9 to noon, every Saturday morning on 95.7 The Game, talking Dubs with you. Welcome to the Comcast Business text line. 888-957-9570 is the number. Already one from your boy from the 510, Dan. Let the Warriors jack it 9 more
that
games.
Boy.
Come on. We see you filing in on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Good morning to all as we welcome you in. Again, you can hit the phone lines, 888-957-9570. What did you take away from this week that was for Golden State? So far, they're 3-1 on the road. They had a gut check victory in Orlando, perhaps their most significant one as of late, considering what was at stake. And to me, Dan, that's the game that really just stands out for this week for multiple reasons. Because I was curious that the tenor and the tone after that game was doing post. And of course, Draymond gets ejected and people are pissed and people are riled. Steve Kerr, a day later on this station, called it something that was unforgivable. And Curry was emotive, and he was expressive, and they somehow rallied to win that game. And I wonder, because I heard some people saying, well, the coverage would have been worse, or it would have been more damning if the Warriors had lost that game. But in a way, I felt like the fact that they rallied and galvanized themselves without their quote-unquote heart and soul, without their emotional leader, might have spoken more than if they had folded and lost that basketball game.
I'm at a point now where I'm just sort of desensitized to the whole thing when it comes to Draymond. Like, it's baked in.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time he punches Jordan. How many times have we been here? And how many times have we heard a similar sort of reaction from that of the fan base and or the teammates or coaches? Unforgivable. I can't believe what it is that he did. Selfish. I mean, it dominated the networks the next day. It dominated social media. I've seen it so many times. I've been here so many times. And God bless Draymond, because now he's not even dealing with an apology. His apology was basically, you're making a lot out of nothing.
Did he apologize?
Well, he was on his podcast. Yeah. It was sort of, you know, not really. And he's getting to the point where I think Draymond's like, I don't even want to hear myself say the same crap. Like, I need some help. I can't do that to my team. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to go internal and see what sort of demons I'm dealing with. You know, I got to fix some things in my life. I let my team down. He's at the point like, I mean, this is me. All right. Maybe when my career is done, I'll deal with rage or whatever the hell's going on with me. But for now, you just got to live with this. The one thing that sort of sticks out at me, though, Ev, is as much as we talk about how smart of a basketball player he is, and he is,
mm-hmm.
He's very cerebral on the court, but he's one of the biggest idiots in the same vein at the same time. How you can get kicked out of that game with Houston on your heels and the back-to-back without Jonathan Kuminga, that's something a stupid player would do.
Well, speaking of kicks, there was a play against Charlotte last night where he got tangled up with Grant Williams, And it might have been before the offensive foul, but Grant Williams kind of pushed him off his spot, and he flung that leg in a nether region that Steven Adams is well aware of, and he was a foot away, I think, from catching hell again.
Yep,
I mean, it does feel like only a matter of time. And I think there was a quote after the game from Slater about there was an anonymous executive that essentially said, like, did you really expect that Draymond was never going to get ejected from a game again? Did you really buy, like, it was a fool's gold? But to me, the difference was, I wouldn't expect him to get ejected from that kind of game. Like, if they lose that game, Dan, right now they're tied with Houston for the 10 seed. And you might say, well, it's a 10 seed. What are they playing for? But because of Curry's emotional outpour, this part of the season, and I don't think it's a coincidence that this week they dug deep on the road, a place that they've been more connected, certainly, than at Chase Center, where they're sub-500 still. They looked like a team that was not ready to say goodbye to this season. They looked like a team that was not done. And no matter if it was Draymond or if, you know, Kuminga was out or whoever was not going to be available that night for their own reasons or not, this season still means something to them. Like, the 10 seed still means something to the aging veterans, to the young players, and it almost feels like they're playing for pride at this point. And that's why I'm locked into these last 9 games, is because I don't know what I'm going to see, but it does feel like their backs have been up against the wall for the majority of the season, and finally they're a season-high 5 games above 500 right now. But this is a team that is looking still for something, whether it's on a night or a week, to just give them a kick in the rear end. And I don't think that Draymond did that by getting ejected from that game, but the Warriors, in spite of him, were able to still find it. And I thought that was pretty significant.
I think when it comes to Draymond Green, if you're thinking that he's going to get traded, if anybody out there thinks that they need to move him, the only reason he will get dealt, or if he doesn't live out his contract with the Golden State Warriors, is because his play on the court will slip, or that he's no longer the same defender, or he's clearly a step slower, and he can't match up. He doesn't have the same intensity. He can't run the show offensively. He's missing guys on those back door, the lob to the dunker spot. All those things that he does, that's the parameter by which he will be measured by. All the other stuff, it's just who he is at this point. I know that sounds ridiculous, and I know that should carry more weight, but we have been down this road. We're going on years, and it's accelerated over the last couple of years. What will happen? Because we've been through this so many times, I can pretty much tell you that this will dissipate. He'll behave for a couple of more games. He might flare up and do something completely out of control in the postseason. And then we'll take similar calls of, like, time to get rid of him. But this is who he walks that razor's edge, right? He looks right over the cliff, and he dares someone to push him. That's who he is as a basketball player, and I almost feel like that's who he has to be in order to be an effective basketball player. And that's just not going to change. The only reason you would move him, and I'm convinced that this is who the Warriors are, they just re-upped him after everything he did a year ago, is that if on the court, physically, he begins to show signs just like anybody else, when you're passing judgment as to whether or not you should keep or cut bait, it's just going to be predicated exclusively on his talent, on that 94-foot slab of hardwood, and that's it.
But I do think the body of work throughout this season leads me to believe that this summer there's a lot that could happen. Whether it's Klay Thompson's impending free agency, whether it's a potential trade involving Kuminga, although I think that's unlikely, that's probably how you're going to have to go get a big boy involving JK. Perhaps it's, trying to move off of one of your two albatross contracts right now, because the two people that are locked up for the longest period of time are Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins. They're both going to be around right now, as it stands, for 3 more seasons. Do you try and cut bait with one of those two players? Do you try and go out and acquire a free agent that can help you around the edges? Is there someone, a superstar, after a flame out of a postseason series that wants out of their place? I think there's a lot that is still left on the table for the Warriors this summer. And to me, anything is on the menu outside of Stephen Curry. That, to me, is what I think changed on Wednesday, for me at least, that I would have had Draymond in that camp as well, that he's just going to be around and he's going to be here. And as long as he's still their best defensive player, he's their guy. But if you look at the 4 ejections this season, he's got 3 years left. You can't get tossed from games. You can't get suspended. You can't put your team in compromising positions at an increasingly larger rate year after year after year. I agree. This is who he's been. This is who he is. But it's never been this frequent. And I think when we saw Curry just look emotionally spent in the moment, and then the team rally in spite of the guy not being on the floor, to me, that did open my eyes, along with Kirk calling what it was for unforgivable. I do think there's a little bit more of a shift there. And I'm not saying that Draymond's not going to be on the team next year, but I do think that he is, you talk about that razor-thin line. I don't know what's thinner than a razor. Maybe it's a hair. Maybe it's, like a micro thread. But that line that he's walking has never been smaller or thinner, in my opinion. And is he going to, I couldn't answer that right now. Is he going to be on the team next season? I don't know. I felt like before Wednesday, I would have told you, yeah, obviously, duh.
But I guess I would push back that if he's dealt or he's not on the basketball team, it's because the Warriors felt as though they could improve. It wouldn't necessarily be because,
they don't need him.
Morally, we can't be with this guy, or he's too much of a threat with the extracurricular activities. For crying out loud, they just re-upped him to a four-year deal after he slugged a teammate, and that, compounded with everything else that he had done historically throughout his career with the suspensions and the ejections, he punches a teammate, Jordan Poole out the door, we're going to re-up Draymond Green. Why did Draymond Green stay and Jordan Poole leave? Because Draymond Green is a bigger asset physically. I would say this to your point, that when it comes to Dunleavy, we want to sit up here with a live mic and pretend like we know what the hell's going on. When it comes to the offseason, I have no idea what it is that Dunleavy's going to do. And if Dunleavy moves Draymond Green, moves Klay Thompson, moves Jonathan Kuminga, I wouldn't be surprised, because he doesn't have that allegiance like that of Bob Myers and Draymond Green. I think that when it comes to Dunleavy and changing this team and making the quote-unquote blowing it up, that's very much on the table, because I have absolutely no idea what it is that he's going to do. And as we talk about Dunleavy for a second, I was thinking about this on the flight back to do this show with you, because I come from, I crisscrossed the country to find my man Ev. Where would this team be without the youngsters this year? In all seriousness, as much as we focus on Draymond, we can get back to the Draymond conversation. And Steph has been Steph, although he's dipped off considerably. But think about it. Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis, even Moody, Jonathan Kuminga.
Kuminga, yeah.
Were all players at the beginning of the season that were peripheral players at best. I think Pajemski was expected to even see the court. Same with Trace Jackson Davis. And, Jonathan Kuminga, that relationship was on again and off again. Where would this team be now, as opposed to when they started the season and they said, okay, we got Chris Paul, we got our foundation, we got Wiggins, this is our team. Where would they be with these players that were sort of at the beginning of the year discarded as these guys who were taking up spots at the end of the bench now have slid to the forefront of what it is that the Warriors are doing? I'm just curious if we were to revisit this. Where would this basketball team be right now? I think you're 14 or 15 games out, and you're not even thinking about the 10 seed.
No, I think the Rockets have already caught you. Yeah. I think that's the case. Now, I wouldn't go as far as to say the kids are more important than the core at this point, but you're right. They've needed each other. I mean, and that's to me why this road trip to me has been a place where the Warriors are playing complimentary ball more than they have, because they've been reliant on younger players. They've still needed Curry and Draymond and Klay and Wiggins and Chris Paul. They've needed older players to mesh with the younger guys, and this transfusion of experience or inexperience has put them in a place where now they're fighting for the 10. And I don't think with either side, if it was just young guys on this team, I also think they'd be 15 or 16 games back. But you're right. They've been more dependent on younger players than they have perhaps at any point in this dynasty. And it does make you feel optimistic about the future and potentially making a tough choice this summer. The one that Mike Dunleavy Jr. Wright is going to have to make. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Dan Devone. My name is Evan Giddings. We're here on Warriors This Week up until 12 every Saturday morning on 95.7 The Game. Let's go down to San Jose and talk to our guy, Austin, who wants to talk about the past week. What's up, Austin? How you doing?
Hey, fellas. Happy Saturday. Listen, I guess the question is if you believe what you've seen over the last week or so, and improved play, or if you believe what you've seen over the balance of the most of the season, which tells you the team isn't very good. So I hate to come off as start the show with some little bit of negativity, but I'm more in the camp of believing what I've seen over the balance of the season, and that's that the team is at times exciting. Yeah, they can beat some teams they're not supposed to beat, but they haven't been consistent all year. So mm-hmm. I think if you're looking at the future, you say to yourself, okay, we've seen some improvement, which is good, by the way, because if Wiggins is playing better and guys like Moody, who I'm not a big fan of, I think Moody's just a piece that should be moved in the offseason. But you can use these guys now for trade bait. I mean, if they're playing better, that makes them more valuable as opposed to, you know, stinking the place up. So I think the better they play in the last 10 games, either way, it's going to be better for the Warriors in the future. So I think that's the one thing that gives me hope. And remember, guys, as much as we're talking about improvement, we're still talking about the 10th seed on a team that's supposed to have a core of veterans that have won championships, that are paid a lot of money. So I think we have to be careful about going too crazy with them winning a few games against teams that really, in dog days of the NBA, a lot of guys are undermanned, guys are hurt. So they've got to be a little careful about throwing too much at them. But I would say that I'm encouraged. I do have a lot of faith in Dunleavy, believe it or not. I think he is going to make some major moves in the offseason. I really do. And I think they have to make some, guys. You can't bring back the team that's played this year. I mean, I like these guys, the Joe Hustle guys that come off the bench. That's great. But these don't make good teams. Those guys are good. GP2, Moody, those guys are good when you have a good team. But they need more skilled players on the wings. They need guys that can defend. I would not bring back Klay Thompson. I'm sorry. I'd let him go back and see if he can get some money in free agents. Let's see what he can get, right? I would not bring back Wiggins. I would try to trade him if I can, right? You move Looney, then you go from there. I mean, you got to bring in another big boy. I like J.K. Keep J.K. Keep the young kid in the center, right? Keep Pazemski. But as far as I'm concerned, after that, guys, I'm open to trading almost anybody. I don't know. What do you guys think? I'm not encouraged about keeping everybody coming back with the same roster next year, guys. Come on. Talk to you later.
No, I think those are interesting points, and that's where I kind of want to move towards as we set up our break and head into the next segment, Dan, is it's not about the week itself. I mean, a lot's changed. A lot has happened in the micro, and I think the Orlando game is probably the best example of that. But, look, he's right. They are 5 games above 500. That's the best place they've been this year. The totality of the year would tell you they're an average basketball team, 18th in the NBA. But are they able to do enough down the stretch of this year? And I would say really since they figured out that Kuminga and Wiggins and Green could play all together, have they done enough to prove to you that there doesn't need to be wholesale changes? Because to me, I still think there has to be a move this summer. And you can't just run back the same thing and expect it to change. And that's where I guess I'm at with Draymond as well. And I wonder where people are at in general is, do you expect anything to change, or are you kind of just stuck in the moment a little bit off a nice road trip? They got San Antonio tomorrow at 4:00. Then they got Dallas on Tuesday. They got the Mavericks coming up. They got a big game with Houston on Thursday next week. You know, are you still waiting to see with this team? What do you make of this team, and what did you make of this week? Are you still looking at it from a bird's eye view like Austin, or do you feel like this is a team that's beginning to discover something different about themselves as they trail towards the final 9 games?
Ed, before we go to the break, let me just say that I'm with Austin, man. Put the TNT, yell to everybody, fire in the hole, put on your hard hat, and blow this thing up. We'll talk about it.
Wow, that's it. That's a tease, people. That's Dan Devone. The Big Kahuna's back in the saddle with your boy Evan Giddings right here on Warriors This Week. We're back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get 3 seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The jam right there, Ken.
All right, this is Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVoe with you. Ken on the ones and twos in the background. We got you locked here until noon. Dan, look, I know that you jump in the bay once a day, it feels like, maybe twice sometimes. You're a little cold-blooded, but you sounded really cold-blooded at the end of that last segment. Blow it up, get the TNT. I mean, did the last week prove nothing to you about this Golden State Warriors team?
Here's the thing that you have to keep an eye on.
Oh, I got my eyes centered.
Everybody in the West is getting better. Can you say that the Golden State Warriors are becoming a better basketball team? Because that's applicable to just about everybody in the West, who, by the way, are all much significantly younger than that of the Warriors. Are the Warriors getting better, or are they getting older? This year, you may be able to Heisman the Houston Rockets and stave them off at the finish line. That ain't happening next year. Why? Because Jalen Green's going to be a year older. Şengün is going to be a year older. All those boys...
They don't play well together, Dan.
Are going to get... Yeah, they've been much better with Şengün out.
Yeah, I know.
I thought I could just run that by. I should have known that with Evan the house, man. He knows what's up. But you know what I'm saying. Same with Houston. Same with Minnesota. Same with... You can even say that's applicable to that of the Denver Nuggets. Can you say that about the Golden State Warriors?
I think they've gotten better this season because they've had to get younger. I mean, they haven't had a choice. Like, that's, I think, a major theme of this year is the vets. I mean, you said it in the first segment. I think you're spot on. If the kids weren't around this year, this Warriors team would be in turmoil. They would be in a downward spiral more so than they were during, you know, the beginning of March, in which they started, I think, what, 5-7 in the first 12 games? You know, they'd be stuck in December. If you got an absence, whether Draymond getting suspended, Wiggins being up and down, Klay Thompson, who overall this season hasn't shot it particularly well, but has been better since he's been moved to the bench and now back into the starting lineup. No, you're right. Like, the kids have been necessary for this season to stay afloat. Now, it also means it's been staying afloat. How do you get better? That's the question that the Warriors are going to have to ask themselves this summer. And I think a major part of that is the internal growth. But I guess the question also then becomes, how do you springboard that? Like, how do you provide runway for some of your younger players to improve to the point where you can get better both internally and then... I don't think there's a guy out there right now that the Warriors can trade for or acquire that's all of a sudden just going to come in and sweep us off our feet and take us back to the promised land. But I do think that in addition... by subtraction in certain areas, can help the Warriors contend in a way that they have for the last 2 months of the season. The question is, how can you find more consistency? How can you find more balance? And that's, to me, where the kids have been able to uplift and get the aging core into positions. Like, for example, against Orlando, Andrew Wiggins was best player on the floor in that game, in my mind. Curry didn't have a great game. He had like 17-10. He was passing the ball well, didn't turn it over much. But younger players in that game helped Curry get to the point where he could take over in the final couple of possessions. I don't think Steph, Draymond, Klay are in positions anymore to just will the Warriors to wins. I mean, Curry scored 60 points and they lost to an Atlanta Hawks team this year. They need everyone more than ever. But it doesn't mean that Curry or Klay or Dre can't be good for stretches of games. They just have to figure out a way to kind of get those guys into positions where they can grab the momentum of a game.
Listen, Steph Curry isn't going anywhere. And I'll even amend that. I was looking at the teams in front of the Golden State Warriors. To be rather frank with you, Ev, the Warriors could be looking at, if they want to stay the course and continue to cobble this thing together with the core and this aging group and these youngsters who are, you know, to Austin's, you know, Austin's point that he kicks off the show, and he's right. These are good players, but they're more sort of on the periphery. Like, they, you know, Pajemski's a good player, but he's not a star in this league. Trayce Jackson-Davis could be potentially, or he could just be a very good center. Jonathan Kuminga might be the one guy that potentially could have, you know, all-star games in his future. But the Golden State Warriors, the reason why they need to make drastic changes is because not only is everybody getting better in front of them because they're younger, they need to look over their shoulder. Because Houston is getting older and better and more experienced. I'll tell you what, Memphis, when Ja comes back, don't expect them to be the perennial doormat every year. They could be on the heels of the Golden State Warriors, and I will throw the team that they are going to see next, the San Antonio Spurs, who are accelerating simply because of that alien they got at center in Wembanyama. And just a shout out to San Antonio, by the way, is that if you think this is a 2 to 4 or 5 year plan around Wembanyama, think again. You need to start winning next year. So Popovich and company, the grace period is done. Otherwise, Wembanyama is up and out of there. That aside, there are teams, because everybody is young, and now with every passing year, with every passing game, they get experience and they become much better. The Golden State Warriors are becoming old and getting older. And that, I think, is really wherein lies the problem going forward when you think about this team next year. We can't do another season of, will Wiggins show up tonight? Oh, Klay Thompson has disappeared the last week. Meanwhile, Steph is logging 35 minutes and doing the best to keep this thing afloat.
But you also just can't completely tear it down because of the guy you just mentioned. Like, that's I think, the difficult job that Mike Dunleavy has ahead of him.
Blowing up doesn't mean rebuild, by the way, just to clarify.
What, in your mind, would be blowing it up?
Meaning making drastic changes to the team. Blowing it up meaning getting rid of the core, getting rid of the foundational pieces that we've grown so accustomed to. You know, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Wiggins, Looney, all of these guys that have been part of the fabric for over a decade, out the door, and bringing back compatible or upgrading with younger talent. I know that's easier said than done. Thank God I'm not done.
Well, to me, that does sound like a rebuild.
Well, not if you're getting a star. Not if you're getting somebody that is going to be that person or filling that void that we have discussed ad nauseum throughout the entire season, that now becomes a star next to Steph Curry. That's not a project. That's not Kuminga we're talking about. Maybe potentially in 2 years he could be that guy. Somebody who's that guy right now. Maybe it's DeJounte Murray, who went for 40 last night.
Well, he also took 44 shots.
Yeah, exactly. You are good, brother. Nothing gets past you.
Yeah, 44 and 44.
You got to get up awfully early in the morning to get one by my man, Evan. But you know what I'm saying. They need to bring back a star. So when I say blow it up, I mean get rid of all of these players that have been synonymous with the Golden State Warriors and bring back talent so that you can win right now. But it's just, you're changing the guard, so to speak.
Look, I think is, again, anyone beyond Curry to me is on the table. But you got to find pieces that will be better than the ones you currently have. And that's why honing in on someone like Draymond Green, Wednesday was significant to me from the standpoint that I think if he gets run from that game before that week, I mean, that game's over. And that's a game you need. Like, I thought they were not going to win that basketball game when he got ejected. And because Wiggins was really good, I thought because Curry did enough down the stretch, the bench, Trayce Jackson-Davis played like 34 minutes in that game, had 14 rebounds. Moses Moody made a couple of hustle plays even though he couldn't hit a shot. Hit 4 last night, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there are players on this team that I think are ready to step in and step up. And the question is, how competitive can you be? I don't know if it's out of the question that if they make some wholesale changes like you're asking for this summer, that they can't be a 10 seed. Now, that's not what people want, but I don't know, Dan, how you're going to make a 10-win jump from wherever they finish this season. It'll maybe be around 44 wins, which is where they were last year. I don't know how you immediately jump into the 50-win echelon and also strip parts down. Like, that to me doesn't, they don't equate. And so I'm not an advocate of running it back. I do think there needs to be changes this summer, but you're going to have to hit on a lot of moves if you want to be back into contention because of what you're also talking about, which is the West being really competitive. And yes, there's teams behind you. You got to think about San Antonio, Memphis, I don't know, maybe Houston, but how are you going to jump Minnesota? Like, how are you going to jump Denver? How are you going to jump even the Clippers, who are an aging team? How are you going to jump Phoenix? How are you going to jump Dallas? Like, there are so many teams above the Warriors, and some of them are aging, but most of them are going to be right back and be good next year.
Better.
Or better, like OKC.
No doubt. But what gives you a better chance of jumping them? The status quo or rolling the dice and bringing in some stars? And trying to find, you know, that guy that can play. Listen, if you were to take Steph Curry away from the Golden State Warriors, and we've seen this, they're terrible. Sometimes Klay can be good. You know, Andrew Wiggins, who the hell knows? But they don't have a bona fide, well, all right, Tatum's out, Jaylen Brown, you got to go off tonight.
Yeah.
Even Jokic, you might be the one other team where that scenario is applicable, where they're sort of one-dimensional. Jokic is out, but I'd rather take Jamal Murray, and or especially the way Michael Porter Jr. has been playing over the last month. I'd take him over anybody who's the Golden State Warriors are going to substitute for Steph Curry. You take any star away from any other relevant team in the NBA, and I can point to two, maybe three guys that you could say, okay, well, they have the ability to pick up the pace. When it comes to the Golden State Warriors, if you took Steph Curry out of the mix 5-10 years ago, yeah, I mean, Klay Thompson will be all right. You're gonna get numbers from Kevin Durant. Now it's become ludicrous to the point of, well, Klay Thompson at this stage of his career, he's gonna be your go-to. I mean, who is it? And that has to be addressed. And in order to bring in that bona fide established, somebody that's stamped as an NBA proven star, you're going to have to give it up or give up pieces or quote unquote blow things up.
Well, and this is, I think part of it too, is just the inconsistency from players, whether it's on the court or off the court. MacLife CEO on YouTube, powered by First North Cal Credit Union, not having one of your best players getting suspended for 25 games, that would help. Yeah, you're right. When Draymond's been on the court, he's been pretty good. Has he been all-time Draymond? Has he been DPOY? Not anymore, but he's been their best defensive player. His issue is that he can't keep himself on the court. Klay Thompson, at the beginning of the year, couldn't shoot it consistently enough. Andrew Wiggins, and this is more of an indictment of his season, but last night was just the second time this year he's had back-to-back 20-point games, in which he's also been a plus. Even last year, Wiggins had, I think, two or three stretches of three or four straight games scoring 20. So what are you going to get from Wiggins on a given night? I mean, to me, in a way, the floor players, some of the younger guys have in a way been more consistent than some of the older guys outside of Steph. Even Chris Paul looked like he was lost in the back-to-back in Florida. He didn't have any legs under him against Orlando or Miami. I mean, I know these kids aren't ready yet, and I don't think Pajemski or Moody or even Trayce Jackson-Davis, who I've really enjoyed watching as a starter, I don't know if those guys are ready yet to carry the load of an 82-game year, more so than they're having to do. I mean, we saw Pajemski run up against a wall, and that's why he's back on the bench in a role he probably should be. But are those guys ready to take a Kuminga-type leap? I think that's a little unfair to ask. And so the question about what to do this summer, in a way, I think will be determined by the final nine games and, you know, how they look going into an elimination game. But what I'm looking for, Dan, and what we've been searching for more so than anything else has just been consistency from the best players or the players that are supposed to be carrying you.
What's interesting is that the new framework by which we look at the end of the season, and this was the intent when they brought in the play-in game, which is what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah. A few years. Well, the pandemic
couple years
year.
Ago.
Pandemic year, yeah.
2019. Think about this. When I was growing up, my entire life, and the majority of your young life as well, Ev, there were eight teams that go to the playoffs prior to 2019.
Warriors ain't one of those teams.
What's the narrative if this is pre-2019? I know we're, and this was, again, this is why Adam Silver and the brain trust that are the executives out there in Madison Ave in New York City, they decided to extend this thing to keep the level of interest. And so that people like you and I have something to chew on and are not talking about next year. But just let's think about where this team would be and what it is we're talking about if this was pre-2019. You're talking about a team that's missed the playoffs. and a team that is, you know, what's the conversation then? Right now, we're still hanging on to a 10 seed simply because it's a recent creation on the part of the NBA, again, to maintain a level of interest for teams like that of the Golden State. I mean, the Warriors, think about how far we've fallen here. The Warriors typically are looking for, well, what are they going to be, a one seed? You know, when they won the title, they were a three seed. Last year, they slipped to a six. And now we've gotten to the point where you're trying to scratch and claw and do whatever it is that you can to get in as a 10. I think we have to keep things in perspective as just to where this team is at. And I know, listen, getting into the postseason and a play-in game, they can make a run. I'll still stand by that. But I think at times we also have to take a step back and sort of look at this through the glasses of, if this was, you know, this is just 5 years ago, this is a team that's not going to the postseason.
I don't think they're making a run beyond the play-in tournament. I mean, right now they're matched up with Minnesota. They beat Denver last night, so they pretty much have their hands. Like, they get to determine who the one
is. They'd see Minnesota if they get past the play-in?
Yeah. I don't think they're beating Minnesota.
What is Minnesota?
I don't think they're beating Denver. Right now?
Yeah, but see, Denver, I would say no.
All three of those teams are 51-win teams. OKC, Minnesota, Denver.
But are you willing to bet, you know, your kid's college tuition, that whoever that kid is, there's a twinkle in some girl's eye out there, but if, are you willing to bet the tuition that...
Just one.
That they can't beat, they can't beat Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota, OKC. I mean, just think about, you know, the Warriors. Just think about that Warrior team against Milwaukee, that team. Now, listen, are they going to be underdogs in that series? Yeah. Am I going to be completely...
I think they could win a game. I think they could maybe even win two games. But winning the best of seven across 2 weeks in a playoff series against a team that has been better than you all year...
Have they, though? Has Minnesota, have you seen Minnesota play the Warriors and you walk away and go, man, that team is head and shoulders over the Golden State Warriors. They just got spanked by 25 again. No, the majority of those games are hanging in the balance, going right down to the nub.
But you can make the same case about Denver.
Yeah, but Denver, I think, since the All-Star break and since Jokic sent out that team text, like, let's go, boys, to me, are more dangerous than Boston simply because they did it a year ago.
No, I think Denver's the best team in the NBA, but the point about the head-to-head, like the Warriors were in games, three of them, against Denver at the beginning of the season, around Christmas, and then, of course, the 16-point blown lead in the fourth quarter. Like, they've hung with the Nuggets.
Jokic is buzzer beater.
But they haven't beaten them in 2 years.
Yeah, but I think that's a little fool's goal because I think Denver is in a separate place than everybody. Minnesota, OKC... All those teams that they've been right there with don't necessarily instill a level of fear like that of Denver. So could they beat Minnesota? Certainly anything can happen, but I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibilities if the Warriors advance over a team like OKC in Minnesota. Now, they're going to have to play a lot better, but it certainly can happen.
Yeah, I mean, and they could also, you know, get bounced in the first round of the play-in by the Lakers, or I don't know. I mean, I also think too, it's
like, which is why making this show is so difficult, because you're right, both things are true.
I mean, going into the playoffs last year when they were a six seed and they had a solidified first round, I thought they were going to beat Sacramento, and Sacramento was a better team. They were a three seed over the regular season. They were a better team. I do not feel the same way about any of those top four seeds this year if the Warriors happen to match up. And really, it's the top three. I mean, it's Denver, Minnesota, OKC. Even a young Thunder team, to me, is far scarier than what the Sacramento Kings were last year. And this year, to be honest. But that is kind of where the Warriors are at again. And I think it's like this revolving door of getting to the place where, could the Warriors be dangerous? Could they make a run? Could they do this? Yes, yes, yes. So why are they a 10 seed? You know, is it just because of self-inflicted wounds? Is it because of moments like Wednesday where Draymond's getting kicked out of games? Is it because they haven't gotten this two-way Wiggins that we've seen the last two games? Is it because Klay Thompson is inconsistent shooting throughout the year? Is it because Curry's 36 years old? It's because of a confluence of factors that this team is stuck right now, only five games above 500 for the second time this year. They were five games below 500 midway through the season. We don't know which side of 500 is going to show up on a given night. And so that is what makes this team so difficult to dissect. But I think to your larger point about what needs to be done this summer, there has to be action, because you cannot put yourself in a position where we're wishing again, where we're hoping again, because it seems like, Dan, we've been stuck in the mindset of hope with the Golden State Warriors since they won the championship and since they started out 2-7 last year, and we're just going to run things back and relying on the vets and the best five-man unit and all the rest. We're telling ourselves again and again and again that this team can muster and conjure up some sort of postseason magic when they haven't even been able to do it through 82 games.
What did Bill Parcells say? You are what your record is. So as much as we can talk about the suspensions and, you know, all those clutch games that they've lost, this is who you are. What's interesting about who they are this year, it's very similar to who they were a year ago. This has been the same team basically over the last 2 years. What's happened, again, is that the West is becoming more competitive and these youngsters are growing up. So the Warriors, I think, finished last year, I want to say 6 games over .500. They're going to be about 6 games over .500 potentially this year. A year ago, they were able to avoid the play-in tournament altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're scratching to go in as a 10 seed. I stole that from Steve Kerr. I think he said that last night. And
yeah.
So that just goes to show you how better the West is getting. And also the Golden State Warriors are sort of stuck at mid-gear. Like, they're pretty much the same team they were a year ago if you look at their record, which is going to be about, you know, 5 to 6 games over .500.
Yeah, this is from the Comcast Business Text Line. Again, the number is 888-957-9570. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. This is Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. From the 530, Dubs can avoid Denver in the first round. They will beat OKC or Minnesota in a playoff series. There's also hope from the 661, where the West fears the Dubs winning the play-in and playing this team in the playoffs. I guess I would ask, from what we've seen, yes, they have some marquee wins. You know, they beat Milwaukee, your favorite game of the year against Boston. They beat Boston at home. They've had some close victories against good teams. But has this team shown you that they deserve to not be dismantled, to not be rearranged, to not be dissected at the end of this year? I mean, I think that's in a way what we're kind of seeing. Like, they're fighting. But in a way, it feels like a lot of these players are fighting for whatever remains in their basketball lives, at least the older guys. You know, Curry he's not going anywhere, but he's fighting for pride, because that's the point in his career at age 36 in which he still has something to prove. Klay Thompson is playing for a contract. Draymond Green might not be playing for a contract, but he's clearly playing for this sort of idea that he can prove that he's not the problem child that he's been all year. Like, he's trying to prove that he's changed or that he's grown. And while I might not be seeing it, and Wednesday certainly doesn't point me in that direction, there's something that each player at their stage is playing for right now. And that's, to me, the biggest change in 1 week that I've seen, is that they do look like a team that is not just going to pack and mail it in. They don't care that the Rockets have won 11 games in a row, not because they're the Rockets, but because the season ain't over yet. That doesn't mean that there aren't questions that they're going to have to answer this summer. But what I liked about this last week, and what I've liked about really the entire road, I mean, they're 21-15 on the road, is that they still got some gumption. Like, they still got some fight. And that's what I see on a nightly basis from this team.
The problem with the Warriors, again, just gets back to age. And when you're old, again, more than any other team, just to reiterate, they needed to go in as a sixth seed to get that week off, to get those 6 days off. Could they beat OKC? I believe they could in a seven-game series. Could they beat Minnesota? Yes. I've said that all year long. The reason why they most likely won't, it's not because those teams are better. It's simply because they don't have enough gas in the tank to play-in games and then take on those teams. Like, they just don't. They can't be North Carolina State. Shout out Wolfpack. You go through the AC tournament and you win 5 games in a row, and then you make a run in the tournament. Yeah, you can do that.
DJ Burns.
You can do that from 18 to, yeah, big fella, go get it. 18 to 22, you can do that. Not when you're 34 and 37 and 35 respectively. Like, that to me is really where this thing sort of begins and ends, that they just don't have the legs to go play in, and then OKC, Minnesota, Denver, and Sacramento.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Dan, but that means you're not as good. Like, if you can't summon it, if you can't muster it, that means you're not as good. And that's why the Warriors are in a place where they're at. But again, they've won three in a row on the road, back-to-back games from two-way wigs. And I do want to focus in on a couple of these players because, to me, we've been talking a lot about the young guys, and I think there's a spot in the conversation for the steps that TJD's taken. You know, last night it was Moses Moody who found his three-point shot. Kuminga's been out the last two games, but they're hoping to get him back soon. But the big three specifically, as we move into the second hour of Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game, the big three, they have questions to answer, both about this season and about their lives moving forward. Did we see a potential inflection point on Wednesday in Orlando? Will we see an inflection point this summer as Klay Thompson becomes a free agent? As people think about what Draymond Green has left in the tank, about what Steph Curry might have left in the tank, where are you at with the big three right now in regards to the Warriors' chance to contend this year, but more importantly, how they can get back into contention? 888-957.
I got another quick tease before we go. The big question, which we also want to answer when we come back, is can the Big Maple, Zach Edey, and DJ Burns play in the NBA? I need answers, though. I need answers. I got to fill out the dance card, bro.
888-957-9570. That very entertaining man is Dan DeVone. Evan Giddings with you back after this 95.7 The Game.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.